theory. The regulator is custom made by the chairperson themselves. Is he himself or himself? SAPC, I see the one board member and the group CEO, they are here. Centec, both the chairperson and the CEO, they are here. The CEO of ICAS. Is that the CEO of ICAS? It's just unconventional that you are not sitting with your chairperson. You must learn from Centec. You see, the chair and the CEO. There is a unity in diversity because of majority. So you are not displaying a very good example. You see, SAPC and the board member, team, they are together. You see. So Tatu Kruger, you must wait, make way for the CEO of Centec to sit with the chairperson. So that they are together and so on. I'm not sure who's here from ETV. Okay. We are most welcome also with us. We're still going to get the exact names in terms of who's here as we proceed with the program and so on. PMG, I hope you are here. Our account now is no longer blocked. We can have access to your recordings and other things. So continue doing your work. You will have access to your account and the work which you do. Honorable members, I'm sure we've got a very, very long week, 4 days ahead of us. Starting today with the issue of the state of readiness of the DTT. The next 2 days and the last 2 days dealing with the public so it's a very hectic schedule ahead, a very busy week. We hope that we'll be able to be equal to the task which is facing us. But for today we are here for the digital migration, a state of readiness which we hope that by the end of this session, the 2 days, we should be having some fair understanding as the legislature was parliament in terms of where we are, where are we going, where are areas we still have some challenges, and how do we deal with those challenges moving forward and so on. Because indeed the importance of digital migration can no longer be overemphasized. We all know how important it is. In particular, to ensure that indeed all of our people in the country, they do have access to broadcasting. So I hope the presentation will shed light around those particular areas where we are and so on. And also, I know members are also interested on how to approach this digital migration. Are we just approaching it in the pure manner of just converting signals from analog to digital, or it also possesses some advantages in order to bridge the digital divide? Because it's a choice which you make whether you just approach it purely on the issue of analog to digital, but also it can be used to facilitate the access to ICT services if it's used properly or in a manner which is geared towards that and so on. So we hope that at the end of the 2 days and when we present our report to Parliament, we'll be able to be clear in terms of where is the process, what are the areas which we think that still we have to make some recommendation in taking the processes forward and so on. I must say upfront that we are mindful that there's a court case which is going on between ETV and the DOC. We are mindful of that. We hope we are not to encroach to any of sub judice matters around that particular matter. We know the case has been already heard. We are waiting for the judgment. But indeed, I hope that as members will be asking questions, it will be questions which does not seek to undermine any of those processes. I must say up front that we respect the rule of law. We respect the right of all parties to use our judicial system, whether it's ETV or DOC, anyone for that matter. It's the system which is here in the country. Everyone's got access into it. Everyone can use that particular system and so on. We only just hope that matters might be resolved quicker so that there is no further delay on the issue of the digital migration and so on. But with that, we are not saying anything about the rights of people to do whatever they can through the system which you have in the our beloved country in terms of everyone can do. But we are mindful of that. I'm just raising the matter so that it's appreciated that we are mindful of that and so on. But without saying much, I would think that we'll have to zoom on the issues. We initially wanted to start at 9:30, and we shifted the time to 10, and we have also missed the 10 o'clock starting time around this matter. But I must say that this is the time which we set as a committee will afford you enough opportunity to talk to us on this matter. We didn't want to deal with the matter earlier when we were dealing with the strategic plan and annual reports. Honorable Shin was quite cross at me when I was saying we must put aside more time so that we got more time to interrogate about this matter because she was in a hurry to zoom on the issues and so on. You've got your day in the committee today, Honorable Shin. They are here. They are all yours. You can ask them whatever question you want to ask them. I'm sure they are equal to the task to be able to respond. Mr. Piri, DDG, I hope you are ready with your presentation. Without any further delay, you see, I can see that the board member from the SABC, Ubabu Mthimbe, is taking exception that I've started to greet people from Councillor Stokely. And go upwards. I didn't go the other side. No, there's nothing wrong with the other side. It was just the issue of time. So I was doing this side also on your behalf, that other side. So there's nothing wrong about the side and so on. It's equally the same. DDG? Probably before you start, DDG, I've got apologies here. I've got the apology from the Minister and the Deputy Minister for Cabinet activities. I've got an apology from the Director General of DOC, who she cited work commitments in the DOC. I've also got an apology from Honorable Tsebe, Honorable Mthambi. She has a bereavement. She lost her sister last week. I've got another bereavement apology for Honorable Kekane, one of the family members is passed on. So those are the apologies. The one standing from last week is from Honorable Dlazi. She undergo an eye operation. She's still recovering from that and so on. Any other person I can't account for. I don't have the apologies for them and so on. DDG? Just hold DDG of Datu Tem. Where is the gentleman today? I don't see the gentleman. Honorable Rutua, then this woman.
Just for formality, may I speak, Chairperson? I've been listening, whether I didn't hear you very well, when you're giving us the apologies. I didn't hear you telling us where the minister is, the deputy minister, or the DG. We just want to, for interest sake, and we want to know.
Listen.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think my comment would be in line with the Honorable Member's story that says that we don't discuss apologies. We respect that. However, I thought that we are dealing with a critical matter that as a country we have committed ourselves to achieve. And in particular, for the DG not being here as the leader of the organization and also DOC as the leader and the coordinator of the whole process, I do have a serious concern on that. And I hope that whatever she's doing in terms of work-related, if it's work-related, because I couldn't capture the reasons thereof. It's so important than coming to the portfolio committee who are policymakers. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Schneeman.
Yeah, Chair, not to delay the meeting, but I would want to suggest that the DG be contacted and that the DG be asked to come down, unless there's some serious reason why she can't be here. But I think that we're discussing two very important issues this week, and I would have thought that it would have been regarded as an important matter. So I'm just suggesting that maybe the DG be contacted, or somebody needs to speak to the DG and say, look, this is the views of the committee that we think you need to be here.
Thank you, members. In relation to the minister and the deputy minister, they are attending the cabinet committee meeting. In relation to the DG, until lately, she was coming, and then I received, there is a letter which she sent that they should not be coming and so on. I take the point from Honorable Schneeman that the DG be contacted to be able to honor this meeting. Will that be the view of the committee? I just want to check that. Honorable Shin? Or stay?
Well, Chair, yes, I would concur with my colleagues that it is an important issue. There are repercussions. And unless there's something that's more important than this, the DG should, in fact, make time to be here. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'll just request the department someone to contact the minister and the DG and ask that the DG should come to the meeting. From DOC, can someone do that? Talk to the minister and the DG that we need the DG here on this matter. And then we'll take it from there in terms of that particular response. Thanks very much. I don't think we have to delay the meeting further. DDG?
Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Kolwane, and honorable members in the room, my colleagues from entities, SOEs, SOCs these days, chairpersons of these entities, and industry at large, good morning. Chairperson, we appear before you and appreciate the opportunity to give an update to the committee on the state of readiness for digital broadcasting migration. Honorable Chair, we were here in September 2011 where we presented together with colleagues on the state of readiness. And there were several commitments which were made from our side and the recommendations of the committee wherein we were asked...
Yes, don't forget to introduce your team.
Yes, I'm coming there, Chairperson. So, Chairperson, we will also be addressing that. With me, Chairperson, with the apology of the DG, I have Mr. Roy Kruger, who is a technical advisor to the minister, specifically dealing with DTT and broadband in the department. I have Wanda Ranga Mandla. Wanda is newly appointed to the established Digital Migration Office, and he is the Chief Director for Technology and Infrastructure, Chairperson. So these are colleagues who will also be taking to the podium to present. Chairperson, the slide I have here seeks to demonstrate the activities of the Digital Broadcasting Project as a whole. It is a very busy slide, but it gives you the DTT regulation.
I hope you didn't do it deliberately, it confused us.
No, Honorable Chair, we have no intention of even hiding information from you looking at the font. It's only that everything had to fit here. Probably it does say, Chairperson, that this is a long process that we are involved in. For instance, it starts with the policy, which is the responsibility of the department. If you look at signal distribution and control, set-top box control systems, where CENTEC is involved. If you look at SAFs around the issues of conformance testing. If you look at ICASA, who has a duty for frequency plan for DTT regulations. For instance, when you look at manufacturers who have to give us the set-top boxes that we need. When you look at USASA, for instance, USASA has a responsibility for the qualifying criteria as well as funding and the placement of an order of the set-top boxes. So this slide is also aimed to say, Chairperson, that we are all, as stakeholders, planning from the same perspective. So the end-to-end process of how we are looking at DTT and our roles are actually depicted here. I can also say that, for instance, broadcasters as a team have a responsibility for channels, content, for marketing, and for looking at preparations around the branding of free-to-air DTT. So, Chairperson, I do anticipate that my colleagues, when they come to the podium over the 2 days, will be able to inform the committee how they fit in into this whole picture. Now, dealing with the responsibilities which Chairperson, we had committed before you last time, we had committed that we are going to finalize the broadcasting data migration policy, we are going to finalize the set-top box standards and get them published, we are going to complete the scheme of ownership support, which is a subsidy policy, as well as the set-top box manufacturing strategy, which documents were approved by Cabinet. We are also asked to finalize a set-top box control operational parameters through our free-to-air broadcasters as well as CENTEC. SAFs, we had committed that we are going to finalize the conformance lab, which is required to be set up. The set-up of digital migration office, as well as the completeness of the proof of concept for DVB-T2-based standard. With regards to this, Chairperson, the digital migration policy was indeed published in February of 2012. The DVB-T2-based standard was also adopted by both SADC and by Cabinet again in 2011. The set-top box manufacturing strategy and the scheme of ownership support, which is a subsidy, was also approved by Cabinet.
That's all, DDG. I seem to have some of, I don't have some of the slides. I'm not sure the members whether they have, but I don't have some of the slides you are talking to. I don't know whether we've got the right document. We're just trying to check whether the document we have, that's all. Just to check whether, which one. No, it does not have the slides you are talking to and the other one you are talking to. Probably arrangement can be made that whilst you continue, but someone just to get the two documents and compare which slides are not there, so that they can be produced once we continue. Good. Lisom?
I think it's not... Oh, thank you, Chair, for the opportunity first. I don't think it's fair, honestly. Because we have read these documents, we have made comments on the documents, and one when we saw the one which is colorful, which I really appreciate, I thought it's a final document. So we're trying to go through this one. You can see they're identical, but the DDG is having his. It's not his fault. I appreciate on that. But that's why, precisely person on that call wanted the DG to be here, Chair, because it's not happening for the first time. I'm not too sure whether it's cut and paste, but probably we can allow the DG to continue while we're getting copies, but he must also talk to the bulletins that we have. So he needs to get the hard copy so that also we cross-check and see, so that we don't lose you. Because otherwise it messes our level of concentration and fruitful contribution that we would have loved to make.
Look at BTG, probably what we need to do, someone must get the document which we have and compare with the document we are going through, identify the slides which are not there, and then they continue, then once you continue, but they do the copies so that we receive the copy whilst we are still presenting. But that must go with all the other people who are going to make the presentation. If you have gave us a document before, and the current document which will be presented got some changes, can you please make sure that we get the updated document so that we don't struggle in terms of following? DTG, you can proceed whilst the other process unfolds.
Honorable Chair, I apologize. I apologize for this. It's because top management, when we met yesterday, also reminded us of what could have been possible to add here, and Jefferson, we did that. So I think there's about three slides where there are changes. It's this particular slide where we reflected on the commitments we have made to you in September 2011. It is also a slide that deals with financials, because we felt the way it was put, it was not clear on the budgeting availability and all of that. There is also a slide that where we have added some of the important information which you thought needs to be before the committee. And Chairperson, I do apologize for the inconvenience. And the department will sort the copies.
DDG, that's what, Emoruto?
You see, Chairperson, unfortunately, we are human beings. We are not computers. Why we have a document, Jefferson, that was sent to us, and all the other things that are highlighted pertaining what happened in 2011. I think, you know, if the higher people in the higher echelons of the DOC have met and changed the document, that means a lot to us. And if it's 3 pages, Chairperson, if you want to unpack those 3 pages, it's a whole lot of contribution that we want to clarify in some instances, and we want to discuss on. And I think Honorable Sona was right. We can't have a situation where we are going to be given a document and people just decide to change overnight and then come and make presentation here on a different, that is just not on. Let us get the document that is being used now.
You see, let's do it like this to deal with this matter. Let us adjourn. Just get the copies for the members. Let us just adjourn this proceedings so that we don't have a tough time. Just identify the pages which are not in the current presentation. Just print them and come and give it to, so that when we start the DTG, we follow all of us and so on. Probably that's what we must do. But like I'm saying, all the other entities who have given us a document, if you have made changes in those documents, can you prepare those changes now so that when we come to you, we don't have the hiccups around those issues. But DDG, just organize someone with the committee section just to get the copies which are not here. Honorable Belma.
Thank you, Chair. The copies in colour, please, and then please email us the updated documents as well. Thank you.
Agreed. So let's just get the copies. If you can prioritize the number of copies for the members so that we can continue when those one are ready, then you can produce the other one. Members, you can continue with your tea until the document comes back. Sorry to stop you, but you can just continue where you left. Okay. The color copies will be so arranged, Honorable Bill, and so emailed.
Thank you.
Copies are here, but you must as well break for the 11 o'clock tea and come back in 10 minutes. Because the tea is here for 11 o'clock, and the copies have just arrived, which is good, but you must as well take the tea for 10 minutes, then we'll start.
documentation. Yes, and I just have a quick look at what they've given. Now, it seems to be an impossible task to get. We've just made all these copies, and now I don't know why I can't even
send them again.
Can I just have a look and I'll see if you can open them? Yes, please. If you're not using them at the moment,
I'm only going to need these, but I'll put up a note about
it. I was going to make some notes in case nothing happens with this copy. Thank you.
I don't want to go out and look for the mission. Yes. And not what do I expect? What is it that I'm expecting from you? That is affecting on my progress. And so that you can also say what you expect. Then we can then say, okay. This is how I need to expect. This is how you make money. You want this? So give you. I want it. You want your tender to be approved, not to go on the tender because you're out of time. You must confirm for me that there won't be anybody finding it. We have kept the regulations. Everything is, there's no fraud that I will get on the newspaper if you do. And if it comes, I'll shock you. Because you can bless me. Yeah. Once people say, yeah, like, oh, now we are in trouble. They will not bring me anything to sign. So what happens now? They bring me anything for you to sign. Then suddenly they go to the newspaper. You will find it goes to the newspaper. The very same thing is a sabotage in the government. They say, the human structure is sabotage in the public sector. That's not true. That's not true. Mm. That's the biggest paranoia. Mm. That's the biggest paranoia. You know where it comes from? I don't care.
DDG, I can see that's a nice discussion with ETV. You must do it also on the court case. are ready. Members, the indication is that they did get hold of the DG. She will be coming, but we are trying to get when is the part which is not clear, but the DG will be coming. We're just trying to get the issue of time when she will be here. DDG? Welcome, Madam Killen. It's nice to see you. Yes, post office also welcome. My apology, I omitted you that time. But the problem is that the person from post office, I can't tell whether he's standing or sitting. It makes no difference anyway. So probably by the time I was introducing people, he was sitting down. And now I can see he's standing. It's okay. I can see. You are most welcome at post office. I'm not sure whether he's standing or sitting, but it does not make any difference anyway. You can proceed.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Again, we apologize for this inconvenience. I would just proceed from where I was, Chairperson, in the interest of time. In here, in this particular site, Chairperson, is the commitments which we had made to yourselves in September 2011, and those issues was that the broadcasting digital migration policy would be amended and finalized, the set-top box standard was to be finalized and published by SABS, the scheme of ownership support and the set-top box manufacturing strategy finalized and approved by finalized by broadcasters and Semtech, the South African Bureau of Standards to finalize the conformance lab, the digital migration office to be established and to launch the proof of concept based on the DVB-T2 standards. To report against those issues, Chairperson, the broadcast digital migration policy was amended and gazetted in February. The DVB-T2 standard was adopted by Cabinet and the South African, the Southern African Development Community, SADC. The set-top box manufacturing strategy and the scheme of ownership support were approved by Cabinet in March 2012. A set-top box request for proposal was issued in July 2012, and the dates for the submission towards this request for proposals were extended to September to allow for updates on local content stipulations. These stipulations, Chairperson, relate to the designation by the Department of Trade and Industry of a 30% local content manufacturing requirement to support the local manufacturing capacity. This is in terms of the DTI regulations, and this was done. Chairperson, with regards to the request for proposals, we have at this point in time received adequate responses towards the request for proposals from local manufacturers, and this attests to the fact that in the country there is capacity and readiness by the local manufacturing industry to deliver the set-top boxes. Chairperson, at this point in time, I would like to also indicate that the set-top box control issue, which is a matter which is contested in court, was included in the request for proposals, which is subject to the litigation by ETV. And as you've already said, Chairperson, the hearing on the matter did take place. At this point in time, we are expecting the decision of the court. We have plans, Chairperson, to procure 450,000 set-top boxes in the current financial year, of course, all things permitting. With regards to how we have to procure the set-top boxes, Chairperson, the National Treasury has released a dedicated procurement practice note to help the department to finalize the set-top box manufacturing, because this has not been done ordinarily in the public service. So that practice note is the guiding procurement policy with respect to how we should handle that, both in terms of evaluation and the adjudication of that request for proposal. The total cost will be an estimated 432 million for the set-top boxes on the 450 that we are planning to procure, and this also includes the installation costs. In terms of the scheme for ownership support approval by Cabinet, we are required to subsidize the set-top boxes for up to 70% of the price, the unit price of the set-top box, and the consumer is expected to pay the difference of 30% in order to obtain a full installation voucher. An allocation of 230 million Chairperson is available for this current financial year, and this funding is with USASA. There has been a request to roll over the funds of 220 million as well as the 180 million for the financial year 2011-2010 respectively. And we are awaiting the approval of Treasury in this respect. The submission for the rollover have been made, and the Treasury is currently reviewing those requests. We plan to roll out 1.5 million set-top boxes per year per person for the three-year financial years. There is, this is to confirm, there is enough industry capacity to produce the required 5 million set-top boxes in terms of the procurement which is undertaken by government. And our goal is to finalize the set-top box rollout within the remaining period up to 2015. Chairperson, to just contextualize this, the TV household market in the country is estimated at around 11 million. So with respect to that, households who are not affected by the subsidy, who are affording households, falls within the additional 6 or so million households who are expected to get the set-top boxes or decoders, to make it in simpler language, in the retail market. So the manufacturing capacity, in fact, is not constrained by the 5 million boxes which we are procuring. We're expected to have set-top boxes which are not necessarily subsidized. I wanted to just make that point clear, Chairperson. In this slide, Chairperson, it illustrates the allocation of subsidization of set-top boxes, as I have said, and the rollovers of the 180 plus the 220 for the financial year 2012. Chairperson, in terms of the medium-term expenditure framework, we have guarantees for 230 as well as the 240 subsequent years in 2015. However, we have not received confirmation for the funding for the financial year 2015 and 2016. And this is normal, Chairperson, because we have not reached that point. In terms of the consumer support and awareness, Chairperson, the consumer awareness program has commenced through the launch done by the minister in the Northern Cape in the month of October. With regards to the permanent call center establishment, there are delays in this case, also affected by some of the cases that we are experiencing. Safe to say, Chairperson, that with respect to the call center, and I may allow here Mr. Kruger to give an explanation. We are exploring several options, Chairperson. We have not made a final decision yet. One of the things that we are trying to look at is whether we are able to obtain the seats that we need, the capacity, and against the financial requirements. And these options, Chairperson, will be made once intelligent conclusions have been drawn. In particular, there is an opportunity to decentralize the call center implementation. There is also an opportunity to centralize, as well as the roles that have to be played by all parties. So this is what we're also trying to do, Chairperson. We're trying to look at CETA as a possible interim path which can help us with this. And CETA has offered a call center facility for the initial 6 months period as an interim measure, Chairperson. The call center facilities to be shared between DOC, Centec, and SABC, and this is the roles that we still have to agree, all of us as parties. Also, with regards to the guarantee that we can be able to fund this this project. We aim also, Chairperson, to create about 4,500 jobs on the call center in the long term. With regards to installation, Chairperson, and this issue will be expatiated by NEMISA by and large, who have been asked to look at this issue. But the training will target the already existing 1,500 installers who are already trained and providing service in the country, to be specifically used for the DTT. The DTT technical installations are similar to those of DSTV, so we do have currently experienced installers in the country. But Chairperson, looking at the magnitude of the project and the short time frame that we have, it is very clear that we may need to ramp up the installers as we have in the country. With regards to community support representative, these are the backbone of the digital migration project. This experience is derived from MNET test DTT installations in Soweto, where it is recognized that people with DTT installation prefer to have a local community person assisting them, so a person who is from their community. Most important, the skills are soft community support skills, so you do not need to have, in fact, it's not a rocket science to do all of this, and people can be rechanneled to be able to do this. As I proceed, Chairperson, in terms of the new installers, this will be trained both on satellite and terrestrial technical installation capabilities. DOC, together with industry representatives and the learning institutions, held a successful workshop to streamline the training program. Working with MICT CETA, a common curriculum has been developed for accreditation across all industry players and training institutions. NEMISA and the eSkills Institute, as I have said, led by Dr. Veso, are also working with the high learning institutions for further training in digital technology. The combination of new installers, community support representatives, and content creation industry are expected to create in the region of about 20,000 new jobs, Chairperson. With regards to consultations and collaborations, this, Chairperson, speaks to how we as a department are playing our coordination role over and above our policy role. The Minister has initiated a consultative forum with provinces to deal with the aspects of communications with DTT as the main subject. And the Minister has undertaken visits to provinces. At this point in time, the Minister has visited the Free State province in the program, and we are currently working on a MOU to cement the relationships on some of the commitments where provinces can assist with the aspects of DTT, including awareness. Task teams involving senior officers from the department and all other provinces are being established to implement the programs. And this, Chairperson, will also include SALGA, the House of Traditional Leaders, and many other relevant structures. The consultative processes will help in addressing the TTT education and awareness in the main. The Minister has also scheduled regular bilateral meetings with SOEs in all aspects of the DTT project. Furthermore, Chairperson, the Department holds regular stakeholder and industry consultations for the DTT project, and stakeholders are also invited and they do participate. An industry body called the Rules of Operations Committee has been working closely with the Department on detailed technical matters related to digital migration transmission. This process has been instrumental in finalizing the technical details on the transmission standard and common interoperability issues amongst different broadcast stakeholders. With this, Chairperson, we are able to produce minutes where we share on clarifying the roles and responsibilities as well as where we need to find common ground, share notes, including draft agreements. Another example of the industry collaboration is the DTT installer curriculum with a common accreditation process with NEMISA and the ISKIS Institute, which is driving this program on behalf of the department as the project sponsor. Chairperson, I would have probably a light touch saying that your program does include all of the stakeholders, but it is to highlight what I have said earlier that with regards to ICASA, our understanding, Chairperson, is that ICASA is responsible for the DTT regulations, and it has held at this point in time, had aimed to conclude its regulations by November 2012. And the DT signal distribution tariffs were also to be approved by ICASA. And ICASA, in their presentation, will also update the House on the frequency plan as part of their responsibilities, Chairperson. With regards to CENTEC, CENTEC as the signal distributor, you can see, Chairperson, that in terms of the policy drive, CENTEC is central to the success of DTT insofar as signal distribution is concerned. CENTEC rolls out DTT transmitter network, signal aggregation, and the multiplexing facilities. CENTEC also working with the GOC and SAPO is the provincial STB rollout program in accordance with the transmitter network rollout plan which it is implementing. CENTEC also collaborating with the DOC and SABC in establishing and implementing e-government services, which is an add-on service bringing advantage through DTT. This project is at a feasibility stage, the e-government services, Chairperson. Other government departments to be involved for content and other related aspects of e-government services. CENTEC is also managing the set-top box control, Chairperson, and the conditional access for DTH. DTH is to be implemented in difficult to reach or what we call economically unfeasible areas in the remote parts of the country, as well as the SKA affected area of Northern Cape. The set-top box control issue, Chairperson, as we have said, is an issue of contestation. But if I may say here, Chairperson, that from time to time we have been able to find what could be the difficulties and whether this matter could have been resolved out of court, Chairperson. Our take in the department has always been that with sufficient negotiation, this issue can be resolved out of court. We have been able to determine that actually some of these issues in the committees that have now been established, these issues can actually be resolved. With regards to the South African Bureau of Standards, Chairperson, who is responsible for the conformance testing, they have been able to find a partner who has to locate the conformance lab at the facility of the South African Bureau of Standards, and this is progressing well. We expect that the conformance lab will be in place by January 2013, and the test suit developers in a position to perform the conformance testing of all set-top boxes has been put in place as a temporary measure. South African Bureau of Standards will issue a conformance certificate to accredit manufacturers who are selected to procure set-top boxes. All South African set-top boxes to conform to the approved standard by SARBS. Chairperson, this means in the main that because SARBS standard mandates that all set-top boxes which are to be operating in the South African market must have set-top box control. By consequence, Chairperson, all of the set-top box, boxes in the country will have to have the set-top box control system, which in terms of the decision that have been made and is under contestation now, is to be done by CENTEC. Except the intention thereof, Chairperson, is to ensure that we are able to control and manage and protect South African consumers and limit the flooding of non-compliant set-top boxes which have been seen in other markets, that this is something that can happen. So this is also meant to support, you know, local manufacturing through the decisions that have been made by structures in the country. So conformance marks to be used in all awareness campaigns to ramp up so that people can recognize and differentiate the boxes by paid TV operators such as Top TV or DSTV and those that are free to air. SABC Chairperson, it is our understanding that SABC is ready to transmit their current SABC 123 during the dual illumination period in the DCT network. With regards to universal access, 19 SABC radio stations will be available on DTT platform. This is an added advantage of DTT. The coverage of all SABC channels will be equally available throughout the country. So the current, what I may call, the license commitments by SABC will have to be met, Chairperson, in terms of universal access. So we'll aim to replicate that kind of coverage even during DTT. SABC is also going to launch incentive channels, Chairperson. They'll give you all the details in as they come in here. And a partnership between SABC and ETV, Chairperson, is expected and agreed that it will be implemented. And this will further brand the free-to-air. The Rules of Operations Committee, Chairperson, which have recommended that it needs to be established by SABC, CENTEC, and other broadcasters as and when they are licensed, will assist in the implementation of the project. It is, Chairperson, our understanding, as we have worked with also with ETV, that they are also ready to launch on the DTT platform, and they are indeed awaiting the subsequent processes that relates to ICASA, and in particular as well as the tariff issues. Tariff issues do affect as well SABC, Chairperson. We must say that it is our understanding that the tariff matters are also outstanding and still needs to be dealt with. MOU between SABC, ETV, Chairperson, we understand, has been finalized, and we were discussing a possibility of entering into an MOU involving ourselves as DOC, ETV, and SABC with respect to the commitments around set-top box control. Chairperson, we also understand that MNET is also ready to launch its subscription services on the terrestrial platform and is also awaiting the ICASA regulations and other tariff matters which affect this process. Draft regulations have made provisions for community TV broadcasters and other new broadcasters to be included. Chairperson, this is a matter that is expressed in the disintegration policy released in February of 2012. USASA Chairperson, briefly, is an important stakeholder here. USASA has identified Chairperson a qualifying criteria. That qualifying criteria is expected that the minister will issue it in the Gazette. The department has inspected that qualifying criteria document, which will help SAPO as well as all of the entities that are going to be implementing the online system that is implemented by SAPO to ensure that we can screen people who qualify. At this point in time, that document has been put through legal scrutiny in terms of the requirements of the ECA, and it is ready to be published in the Gazette. USASA Chairperson has a responsibility to place the orders to the manufacturers and to ensure that the payment processes are met, also to ensure that the quality assurance on the delivery of these decoders is done. The set-top box distribution logistics is to be handled by USASA as well as SAPO, and there are agreements in this case, Chairperson. So an MOU, like I have said, has been agreed to. The distribution business rules have been developed and are finalized between DOC, SAPO, and USASA. The STB distribution process is to be fully automated and run by the South African Post Office in accordance with the provincial rollout plan led by CENTEC. The South African Post Office Chairperson in this case has a responsibility to design the online software to ensure that the vouchers can be distributed to the qualifying beneficiaries. And SAPO will be working with USASA on the distribution logistics countrywide. I must say here, Chairperson, that as a department, we have an expectation that in the logistics warehousing of these decoders, we expect SAPO to also implement a way in which SMMEs can be able to play a role and benefit from this opportunity. With regards to the launch, Chairperson, as I have said, the proof of concept on the working mechanisms of DTT, the digital terrestrial, as well as the digital satellite mechanism, which is largely affecting the area of SKA in the Northern Cape, has been demonstrated successfully through the launch, which was done by the minister in the demonstration that was held there. We are happy, Chairperson, that this technology can work without interfering as part of the requirements, international requirements in the SKA area. Chairperson, I must say that the timelines with regards to the delivery of the project are at this point in time have been affected by some of the legal processes that are in the courts. We expect, Chairperson, that the commercial launch with the lead time to manufacture the set-top boxes can be seen around June 2013. It is our calculation, Chairperson, that that is if the decision around these matters, and depending on the impact of the decision by the courts, if we were to look at the situation now, we could be able to work towards that kind of a deadline, Chairperson. And with respect to the international deadline to complete migration in the Region 1, which affects Europe and Africa as a whole, Chairperson, our timelines does show that we may have overruns at this point in time, and these overruns, depending on how we quickly implement things. But as we're looking at, for instance, a three-year rollout period, Chairperson, it may be that the project may be concluded beyond the timeline of June 2015. I think I have already explained all of this. Chairperson, in summary, this concludes our presentation, Chairperson. The hot issues, if I were to contextualize them, really includes the matter around the tariff. It includes the issue on the ETV case as we see it. It also includes some of the capacity issues which we have constraints on in the department around the capacity for the DCT office and all of that. Chairperson, thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you, DTG. That was the presentation from DOC. I hope you are done with your addition and everything. Now members can go to questions.
So that when members they engage, there is no eyeing on Mr. Cooker was supposed to do this or that, one that was this or that.
So you are certain you are done with your presentation. Can we go to members' questions? Okay. That means that you are done. Members? Lisoma, Schneeman, Shin, Van der Merwe, Killen, Trochen, Mainstein. In that order.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Before I ask my question, I need guidance from your good self, Chair. This is DOC Department of Communication. It's our department that makes the presentation. And the administrative principal that's supposed to ensure that everything happens is not here. What guarantee, whatever questions we're going to ask and get responses, that it will go to the head of the organization so that everything happens? I just want to understand that and the appreciation of this presentation. I'm still coming to the questions, but I need guidance on that. Are we doing a PR exercise? Or we'll have a separate session with the DG, because I do have a serious problem, Chair, when the head of the administration is not here and we're dealing with such a critical matter. Because there are questions that I would ask, and she has to respond on those things. It's not that I'm obsessed with her, I'm not, but she is a DG. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Dissom. Probably, members, we must pass that hurdle first. Because it will help us. If the feeling of the members is to say, let us hold question for DOC until the DG arrives, probably let's do that and go to the next presentation and continue. Or I think let us finalize this matter so that we are clear in how we proceed. Members, can we just entertain the issue raised by Honorable Isom? Honorable Shin? Shineman noted.
Chair, yes, I understand the concerns, and I share them, but I think at this stage we should go ahead with our questions, because I'm sure that the Deputy Director General has a mandate to answer on behalf of the department, and I think he would be mindful that what he says here is binding. And I would suggest that in the interest of time, because we've got, you know, as you say, four very full days this week, that we proceed, but that if there's anything outstanding, that we perhaps get the commitment of the Director General when she arrives.
Cinnamon?
I'm pretty much covered. I by the Honourable Shin, I was going to say let's proceed. The DG, as you've indicated, is coming down, and we are still busy with DTT migration tomorrow. So if there are things that she needs to answer on, I'm sure we'll be able to find space in the program for her to answer on and expand on.
Lisoma?
To speak,
oh, now you're asking questions.
Yes.
Okay, no, indeed, it's your turn.
No, thank you so much. No, I was seeking guidance, Chair, because I don't want to embark on a PR exercise. That's one. Two, Chair, thank you so much, DDG, for the presentation and the amended presentation. And I must start also just by the way. The mere fact that you are aware that you have made changes, one would have appreciated that you said it up front without us picking up, because it does have an aftertaste in terms of the perception that is created. That's just by the way. Two chairs, which now on the presentation.
Were you asking originally?
No, I was not. I was just coming to the meeting, on my way to the meeting. I must say that I like the graph, but also in terms of the arrows when we were making the presentation, I didn't follow up in terms of the arrows, which one is what, but I can see now because I've gone through it in terms of the phone that you also apologize. But in future, Chair, I will appreciate that some of us who are not graph fundis, that if somebody makes a presentation, walk slowly through us with the presentation in terms of the graph. And the ones that you have omitted, you didn't talk to. Having said that, Chair, one would love to know that technically and otherwise, I've listened to you carefully saying that in terms of our target, although you didn't say it up front, like very clearly, in terms of we might not meet our target. I'm sure it's 2015 in terms of your rollout, in terms of the three-year one. Notwithstanding what delay might be caused with the late outcome or court judgment, that because it seems like everything has come to a stop in a way, inverted commas, using that word very carefully. But also linking that, Chair, you said... you are having discussions with ETV, not dealing with the case, but you didn't also say, are we going to get a breakthrough, or what does it mean? Because already we're just waiting for the judgment, but I'm leaving that so that one does, and I'm linking that question, Chair, in terms of the time frames that you have given us, because it needs to talk to that, in a way. That would be my very first question, Chair. The other one that I would like to know, in terms of, I'll apologize up front that I'll tend to jump to the slide. Slide 24, in terms of USASA, it's our own SOE. As DOC, do we have a technical comfort, technically and otherwise comfort, that USASA, what we want USASA to do, will execute that, understanding the current well-being of USASA? Probably because it's going to be working with the post office, then probably then we are going to do that. But I'm worried in terms of the capacity of USASA, in terms of their capabilities. That's the role of DOC also, to ensure that our SOEs also perform well. Yeah, okay. Chair, I haven't finished. The other one, Chair, going to slide 6, in terms of the responses. Okay. No, I'm not, Chair. Okay, no. Let's go to page 7, rather. Okay. In terms of page 7, bulletin number 3 from the bottom, I didn't hear you giving us a sense of comfort that we do have a rollout plan towards 2015. Probably I omitted that one. I apologize if you have talked to that. Slide 9, Chair. I appreciate that we have launched the awareness campaign, but are we aggressive enough to take people of South Africa to understand and appreciate the implications thereof, the end users in particular? Because the way we are moving from assumption that everybody reads newspapers, have TVs, notwithstanding that we are lacking back in terms of universal coverage. What does that, I'm not too sure, I didn't get that. Or when are we going to then to be aggressively educating the community before the actual rollover of the set up boxes. Okay. Chair, in terms of page 10, then I'll pause and leave other questions for other members before I become very greedy. In terms of page 10, phase 2, I'm just making a comment on that one, and I hope that in terms of training of the installers, because also they still have to service, like your multi-choice, your boss still have to service, it does have now, time to time, have technical challenges. I hope that also will train them also in terms of Batopili, in terms of customer service, as these service. Because sometimes we don't pay for the product, we pay also the service that goes with that. While promoting the local installers and all those things that reside within the community, which is well appreciated. May I end from page 11 for now, Chair? If I'm not covered, I'll request you to allow me to come back. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Cinnamon?
Thanks very much, Jefferson. Maybe I can start. I've been asked, somebody in my constituency has sent me a message to ask me to ask the following question as to what would happen if somebody chooses not to purchase or to get a set-top box. Would they still be able to watch SABC? And if they can't watch SABC without the set-top box, would they still be required to pay their license fee? Somebody just sent me this message now. So I thought I'd ask that on their behalf. But Chair, no, thanks very much for the presentation. I wanted to just ask a couple of things. I mean, on the subsidy, you've explained to us there's the 70% and then the 30%. How will people be expected to pay that 30%? Is it cash? Could you maybe just expand on how you think that the subsidy will work, and who will benefit from that, and how is it going to be controlled to ensure that those that should benefit from the subsidy benefited, and you don't find others jumping into that grouping when in fact they shouldn't even benefit from the subsidy. That's my first question. The awareness program, and your presentation says that there's an awareness program that has started. Perhaps you could advise us where that started and how that's being done, because I haven't heard anything. And a little earlier, I decided to post something on my Facebook page asking those people that are my friends on Facebook to tell me if they know what DTT is all about and what the migration is all about. Maybe tomorrow I would have had a good response, and it would be quite a good, interesting to see how many people actually understand what this is all about. But where is this awareness program, and how it started? Just two quick things. I mean, in your presentation, in a number of instances, it talks about the fact that various entities, etc., people are waiting for ICASA to finalize regulations. And what I would want to just understand, and maybe you could explain this to us, I mean, there were earlier time frames that were set. What is the reason for ICASA only finalizing these things now? Was there no urgency when the original time frames were set? I'd just like to get an understanding on that. USASA. You talk about USASA being responsible for certain roles. And I must be honest, I have my doubts about the ability of USASA. And I say that because having, you know, been on this committee since February this year, and on the oversight visits that we've done, one is not that enthusiastic about the work that USASA is doing. Now, if we're going to entrust them with something when they can't even run telecentres efficiently and effectively, how do we expect them to manage this process?
I'm interested to hear. When we went to, some of us on the committee actually went to their head office in Midrand, and I must admit it was quite a chaotic visit in terms of staff morale, problems among staff. So I'm really intrigued. Has it been a major turnaround in USASA in the last few months? Yeah. And then my last question really, Chair, sorry for asking this, but I understand that the 2006 treaty, I think it is, around the whole DTT through the ITU, has actually given allowance to a number of countries on the African continent, and most countries, I understand, in Latin America, an extension to 2020. Although I also understand many of them are trying to speed that up, but why is South Africa excluded from that? I'd just like to understand that. I've done some reading, but I'd like to understand that. And is this something that South Africa is considering maybe to ask the ITU for an extension? Thanks very much, Chair.
Thank you. Honourable Shin.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just a quick observation to start with. While it would seem an observation, and then I'm going to ask my questions, is that while the technical side of this might be perhaps more advanced than the rest of it, I'm concerned that a lot of the programs that are essential for its for the awareness, for acceptance, for installation, use of the set-top boxes, are still in the planning stage. And we're actually hoping to have the first batch of boxes out by the middle of next year. The people who are going to be trained to implement and install them and do the education of consumers just isn't there. So to me, the whole program seems to have got horribly out of sync. And sort of human element of it seems to be lagging. But anyway, I'll get on to the questions from the presentation. And I'm going to be using both documents, the one that we were sent and the one that we've been given this morning, because there are some differences. And so my first question is on page 6 of the presentation, the latest presentation, and on page 5 of the one that we were sent last week. And this, under the set-top boxes, is the responses to the RFP, where in today's document we have adequate responses to the RFP were received. Now, in the one document we got at the weekend, it was specific. It said 37 tender responses were received. Why are we now hiding the number? And I have a list of names of 36 companies that registered their responses by 11 a.m. on the 14th of September. So was there a late entry allowed, and if so, under what circumstances? Then the page 7 on today's document, page 6 of the previous one, and I see there's been a correction regarding the number of set-top boxes for the seed order. To procure an order in the current financial year to March 2013.
Honourable Shin.
Yep.
You say this document they gave us now and the previous one, which we had before. So you are asking across the two documents?
Yes, sure I am.
Because there are differences.
There are some differences.
Okay. So just move slowly that we can try to slowly follow you also.
Page 7 on today's document and page 6 on last week's document. Last week it was the seed order of 350,000. This today it's 450,000. I assume the latest figure is the correct one. Huh? And you talked about 100,000 satellite STBs in the current financial year. So now does this 450,000 include the satellite STBs? So it's now a combined figure there. Okay. Thank you. Then the total costs. An estimated 432 million for the 450 STBs. Now, when we had the presentation by USASA in April, which is what started this, where we are today, It was said that the installation or that the amount of money made available for the boxes included did not include the aerials. And then we were told that at the presentation in April that including the cost of the aerials in the installation cost would mean that half the number of estimated set-top boxes would be available. So that there would be, instead of the initial was 5 million subsidized set-top boxes, with the aerials included and the funds available, this would now be 2.5 million set-top boxes to be subsidized. Were we misinformed in April, or does the installation cost now of 432 million also include the aerials, the boxes, and the installation costs? Then we have a discrepancy here where we say we're going to roll out 1.5 million set-top boxes. Okay, over 3 years, that comes to 4.5 million set-top boxes, not the 500 million, I mean the 5 million that the minister is still talking about. So there needs to be a consistent number of subsidized boxes out there, because at the moment there isn't one. And these boxes are going to be rolled out in the next three financial years. Two bullet points down, we say our goal is to finalize the set-top box rollout within the next two financial years. Can we have some consistency there, please? Now I want to know on page 8 now of today's presentation, which wasn't included in our previous one, the arithmetic of the cost of the number of boxes over 6 years now. And it's 1.3 billion rand. Now, that money is being allocated from where exactly? Can you tell us exactly where those funds are coming from and who's going to be responsible for managing them? Because I think the committee has some severe doubts about the abilities of USASA to manage the funds correctly. Page 9 of today's document. The call centre. Now, the DDG did say that there were options being explored there. Last week, and I can't remember where this came from, but I seem to think that someone said that the 112 call centre was being contemplated or going to be used for this. Is that a possibility, that it will be used for that? And if so, well, that's another delay, because that's taking forever. In the original slide of this, which is on page 7 of the original presentation, it said CETA has provided an interim arrangement for the support centre, for the call centre. There were no costs on today's page. On page 7 of the previous one, it said that CETA was going to cost us 375,000 rand a month to do this call centre operation. Has that been budgeted for? And whose budget is that going to come out of? We also talk about that this call centre will create 4,500 jobs in the long term. Can you please substantiate that? Because one gets an awful lot of a feeling that an awful lot of these job creation estimates are thumbsucks. I would really like to know that one. Yes, and it's also now we're on to page 11 of today's presentation. We talk about the installers. Again, this is another job creation target here, saying that this will create an extra 20,000 new jobs. Please assure me that that isn't just another thumbsuck. Then page 12 of today, the minister's consultations with the provinces. Who is she consulting in the provinces? Please can you itemize who she's talking to? Is this just branches of DOC? Is it the post office? Is it SABC? Is it local government? Is it NGOs? Who is she negotiating with? Because that really, you know, doesn't say an awful lot. I think ICASA will talk to ICASA when we get to ICASA. They can answer their questions. Yes, one thing that is missing for me, and I'll leave it there, is a clear sense that there's a coordinated timeline, that there's actually projects to be done and achieved by a certain date, and whether we are actually meeting that date, whether it's, you know, something physical, something technical, something practical. Do we have, across the project, a timeline by project and with the absolute deliverables, or are we just sort of, I get the feeling that it's all just a sort of fuzzy rollout, and it causes me a lot of concern. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Singh. Pandarmada.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think I would like to share the same sentiments as the Honorable Shin and the previous speakers. As a person that is new to this committee, I'm really none the wiser about exactly where we are with the DTT rollout. And in fact, I think what was missing from this presentation was, as the Honorable Shin had alluded to, clear time frames, who, what, when, where, and how. And I think really for me, it's really, like the Honorable Shin said, it's very much a fuzzy picture, and really looking at some of the concerns that were raised by this committee in September 2011, I'm really not sure whether any progress has been made since September 2011. I want to go to, and this has been raised before, but I think we need some clearer answers, on page 9 when we talk about the consumer support and awareness program.
Honorable Van der Merwe, can someone help me here? What are these things called? Is it a page or a slide?
A page or a slide?
What is it? Is it a page or a slide?
Both.
Or is both? Okay, proceed.
But which one would you like me to use, Chairperson?
It's just that it's used across. So I'm getting confused whether it's a slide or it's a page. We'll call it a slide for today then.
But Chairperson, on slide 9, and this has been touched on by the Honourable Schneeman and the Honourable Lesoma, but we talk about this consumer support and awareness program and out
of the new document.
Of the new document.
Okay.
And I would really like to argue, if you go out to the normal person on the street, they will not know what DTT is. And in fact, this weekend, I spent the weekend in Ulundi, and I had at least spoken to about 50 people who I asked the question on whether they know about this department's progress and campaign in this regard, and the answer is no. So my question is, we know that the switchover will largely hinge on our consumer messaging strategy, and we talk about this, we say that an external service provider has been appointed, but I would like to know, what does this strategy entail, exactly the detail? What is being done? Are you targeting social media? How do we target rural communities? Or will rural communities only find out that there's been a switchover the day when they put on their TV and they cannot access TV anymore? So I would like to know, firstly, I would like to know an answer on this. You know, what exactly does the strategy entail? You talk about the service provider. Who has been appointed to run it, and at what cost? If we can get some answers on that. Then the Honourable Schneeman talked about the 70% and the 30% of the subsidy. We're going to give people subsidies. We're not sure whether it's 2 million boxes or 5 million boxes, as the Honourable Shin alluded to. But what strategy is in place to ensure that, the Honourable Schneeman asked, how will the people pay the 30%? Will it be in cash or will it be by debit order? But the question for me really is, have we done any assessment? Will people be able to afford that 30%? Because if a box is 700 rand, then the 30% is almost 210 rand. What do we do in that incident? And then the subsidy qualification criteria, I believe it's been set out. When were these defined? What did they look like? And how can people access them for comment, if that is even available? And I will stop there. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Kidan.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I would also like to expand further on some of the issues raised by previous members. And first of all, I would just like to express a deep concern and a serious disappointment with what we are presented with today. I do so because at this stage we would have hoped as a committee to have a much clearer idea and in fact a report back on a project plan with certain target dates, responsible entities, individuals, components, and a practical feedback on which of those dates were not met and what are the implications. For instance, I'm concerned that in the past we've heard that you know, part of the delay was the fact that we were not sure about the standard and that delayed the process, etc., etc. But it was this very department that was responsible for the standards delay issue. So to now say that that delayed the process is unacceptable. Secondly, now, if there's a legal challenge, what are the implications? We cannot have a situation where that is now blamed for a failed rollout and a situation where we will not make the deadline, the cut-off deadline in 2015. And it will have serious implications. We know what the history of DTT in South Africa has already been. We've already seen STB manufacturers who were ready to roll out, etc. Some of them closed their businesses because, let's put it bluntly, because of the failures of this department. And I don't think the time is now to beat about the bush. I think we should talk straight. Now, if I look at the presentation and simply the fact that we have been presented with two or three versions of the presentation today, is a clear indication that there is not a concrete plan in place that they can pick up any time of day or night and speak from. Simply that, if you change figures on a presentation to the Portfolio Committee in Parliament, it means you don't have a plan. And you will have to convince South Africa that you have such a plan and that you are in control. Because currently, I'm sorry, Chairperson, but currently I have not been convinced that you are in control of this process. The fact that you respond that certain tender processes were followed and that so many tenders achieved the deadline. We know what the history of botched tender processes in the country are. Are we going to again be faced with some other questions raised about deadlines that were possibly extended or whatever? It does not establish trust in this department. I want to come to your STB manufacturing strategy. You, in passing on page 7, you referred to figures that we're talking of about 5 million people who will have to be supported and that the rollout of program will run over 2 to 3 years, 4 years. Well, 4 or 5 years. In countries where they were successful in the rollout of DTT, there's ample example of their experiences. And that was that STBs would run for a very limited period before television sets are phased out and people switch over and buy into new modern equipment. That is just practical realities, and several examples exist to support that. To now talk of the 5 million set-up box subsidies, and then the other 6 million will buy through the retail market, you know, set-up box. I feel it is not based on accurate planning and examples that happened in other countries. So I'm concerned about that, Chairperson, because again, it seems to me that the department is trying to convince us that they're focusing on job creation in this exercise and trying to have preferred service providers, et cetera, but the bigger project is at risk. And we can't have that. We simply cannot have that. Now I want to come to the point that Honorable Shin raised about the role of key entities. There was a brief sort of allocation of responsibilities. You see, if we have a proper project plan and we have a specific entity that is saddled with that rollout responsibility, it would be part of all of that. It is in passing that we know of the role of USASA, and we know what the challenges of USASA are. So if the department is not aware of the challenges of those entities, that will have to fulfill a critical role in this rollout. How on earth can we trust the plan, that the plan is in place? Chair, if we look at page 9, we're saying the consumer support and awareness campaign. In other countries, what happened was, for instance, in Britain, they started with a separate agency that rolled out DTT in Britain. And they had certain regions that they planned. It was a sort of a very logical rollout because it has an implication on neighboring countries. Where is that in South Africa? Now we're launching in the Northern Cape. It may be a very good idea to go to the Northern Cape. It's a very, it's a very poor province, etc., etc. But why? And why is it not that we see at this stage on radio daily programs, information programs, education programs of people to understand what is coming their way? How can we let this opportunity slip through our fingers? In Britain, they had an awareness campaign. It ran for about 18 months to 2 years before they started. And in that country, surely in South Africa, we have much more severe challenges to communicate the message, to make people understand what is happening. So why, I don't see anywhere where radio, and I mean census, clearly illustrated how important radio is to reach the public out there in the rural areas. So how is it possible that we don't hear that in the detailed plan? Chairperson, members have asked to substantiate the job creation opportunities, etc., and I think that is important for us. But I would like to know, if we are relying on certain sectors in society to help communicate, the department surely cannot abdicate. By involving SALGA and the House of Traditional Leaders, etc., you cannot abdicate your responsibility to convey and communicate about this process. Yes, it's nice to bring them on board, but is not too much time devoted to visiting and to setting up meetings here and creating memorandums of understanding with provinces, etc., etc.? This process, if it is to be successful, needs a pilot at the top who is controlling every aspect of it. And I'm sorry, but Chair, I cannot see that. I cannot see it in the presentation before us today, and I am not convinced, as a concerned South African, that we're going to, already we hear about the extension beyond the date of 2015. What are the implications? What are the implications? We must know that. South African consumers must know that. And I think the time has come for complete transparency about this process. And some of us raised a concern. We said it is not appropriate after digital Zonga was abandoned. We were concerned about the departmental capacity to run and coordinate this project. And I'm sorry to say it, but now what we see before us is proof that our fears have not been allayed and that we may have overruns. But what will that mean? So, Chair, many, many things to clear and to clarify. But what we need is really... We need to believe the department that when they say things will happen at X date, it will happen. And that there are the necessary skilled people in place who will make it happen, or the entities will have the capacity to make it happen. So far, I'm sorry, I don't want to be a prophet of doom, but I have to say I'm very concerned. Thank you.
Hey. I don't even try, you can't be a prophet.
Honourable Prochet.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. At the same time, I want to add to my colleagues that had questions on the time frame. On slide 3, the department will go live. I would like to see a date attached to that. And when is this going to happen? And then on the slide number 7, the department mentioned that 442,450,000 set-top boxes. And if I work it out only for one, it will cost approximately 960 rand. And 50% will be approximately between 200 or 300 rand. Our poor households that live on grants will not be able to afford a 230 payment. What is going to happen if they cannot afford it? If they do qualify for the 70%, that they cannot afford that 230 rand, what will happen to them? And what will be put in place to assist them? And for those people who do not qualify for the subsidies, for the 960 rand per set-top box, or approximately 1,000 rand, will it be approximately that cost, or will they have to pay them that cost, or will it be less for those people who does not qualify? And then you said the consumer awareness programs do have comments. So where is it? Where is it? Who's doing it? You have comments with it, but a service provider has been appointed. Who's the service provider? Can we contact the service provider? Our constituency has been asking us questions, but we don't have the information to answer them. And our consumer support programs, we need full information as members of parliament so that we can share it with our constituencies. So far, no information was shared with us. The call center. I'm beginning to hate call centers because I have to call via sign language interpreter, and some of them do not accept a sign language interpreter to make a call for me or to interpret for me. I, as a deaf person, must phone them directly. I have to explain to them what I'm, who I am, that I'm using a sign language interpreter. The person hang up on me. And I would like to know access for people that are deaf to those call centers. What steps are in place? What will you do to provide access for deaf people? Will they be able to send emails, or will they be able to send SMSs? Will they be able to use, deaf people will be able to use sign language interpreters, and will that be accepted? We've been talking about DTT for a very long time, and my question would be, will the DTT make the television programs accessible for people that are deaf blind, people that are deaf, and people that are blind? I was told yes. But DOC must give the directive. And I want to know, will you, as the DOC, give the directive to ICASA to make sure when that digital is happening, the migration is happening, that there's certainty that we will have access? This committee has been did the oversight in Soweto, and MultiChoice have led us through that process on the projects that they have, and like you've mentioned as well in your presentation. And you correctly said that there's a person and the people can contact him. If there's a problem, then they can contact this person that's in the field there, and I like that there's personal touch for the consumers. Is it possible to have this in the whole of South Africa? Is that possible for a person to service all the districts in South Africa or all the regions in South Africa? and who's going to control it. I think I've covered all that I wanted to ask. Thank you, Jim.
Main thing.
Yeah, Chair, thank you. I'm going to have to scrape the bottom of the barrel here because my colleagues have covered me largely. However, I just need to...
And you're good in doing that anyway, proceed.
Well, I'm glad I can rely on them, Chair, because they left the financials to me, so I won't disappoint them in that regard. But let me just... Chair, let me just say the very first words from the DDG when we started after we got the new presentation was, he mentioned three slides were changed and one of them was financials, and some of my colleagues referred to it. And I thought to myself, well, you know, if at such a late date by yesterday you have to change financials again, then it tells me that somebody doesn't actually know what's going on and you're guessing right up to the very last minute. And I'll tell you why I'm saying that. Because, again, my colleagues have referred to deadlines and so on. Now, I, fortunately or unfortunately, have done a project management postgraduate course, and I happen to have project managed multi-billion rand projects, particularly in the oil industry. And when I read a few months ago that there was a project management office established in DOC, I thought, well, things are going to start coming together. However, we've heard absolutely nothing today. I would have expected that project management office to take the lead here to tell us exactly, and I expected a lot more, like my colleagues, that I'm going to be enlightened. But it hasn't happened. I'm, if anything, more confused than before I came into this meeting. Because the whole purpose of this was to, in fact, tell us what the status is. But I don't get the impression from what you've told us, and again, at the end of your presentation, I thought with hindsight, perhaps we should have had the entities do their presentation first, and then you come in and you tie all the strands together and it would make a lot more sense. But there are absolutely no sort of targets. There's no dates. There's nothing that tells me that a date hasn't been met and this is the contingency that's been prepared. None of that comes through. And the other concern that I noted here was, And mention was made about it, you've got all these consultative forums, and yet I'm wondering why it took ETV to go the legal route. If they're part of consultative forums, does it mean that these consultative forums actually doesn't work? That they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, and it's talk shops, or perhaps they're there, but they actually don't meet? And it goes to some of the questions. All of these comments, Chair, are tied to questions that my colleagues have asked. But let me just get to the... And at the end, I must share this with the committee because I think that sort of perhaps I took the liberty of taking all the strands and tying it together. But I made a note here at the end of your presentation and before the questioning started. And I wrote here that it reminds me of the struggles of a fish out of water, gasping for air. And I'm saying this very sincerely.
Can you repeat slowly what's wrong about the fish? What's wrong with the fish?
The graphic picture that I got was, if you take a fish out of water and it's flouncing around, gasping for air, that is the actual graphic picture that I got.
At least the one I'm going to eat is already dead, you know, it's not gasping.
Well, they're not quite dead yet, but we're getting there. But in all honesty, that is the graphic picture that entered my mind. Because that is what we are being faced with here. We're not getting any clarity whatsoever. But let me just get back quickly to the financials because I support all the other questions. And I'm going to refer to slides 7 and 8. I mean, on slide 8, you've indicated you've got the other 251 million by 2015-16 is confirmed, you'll actually have a total of 1.3 billion rand. Now let's go to slide 7, where you've indicated that the total cost is going to be an estimated 432 million for 450 set-top boxes. And then down the line, the third bullet point from the end, you plan to roll out 1.5 million STBs per year. Now, simple mathematics tell me you're going to need, excluding escalation, you're going to need 1.4 billion rand per year to roll out 1.5. Now, if your project management office can't do that simple mathematics, then we're gonna, the whole thing is going to come crashing down on you. How are you going to roll out 1.5 million per year over 3 years when your entire budget is 1.3 billion up to 2015-16? If you're not going to have the budget, it's not going to happen. Besides everything else that doesn't seem to be in place. So, Jeff, listen, you know, it would seem that, and we need to hear from this project management office, what exactly are they doing? Because they're not managing this project. And nobody seems to manage it. It's going to come crashing down around us. We're not going to meet the deadlines. And I wouldn't like, although I take the Honorable Schliemann's point, I wouldn't like us to go from a position of, well, you know what, we can always ask for an extension to 2020. Because then nothing really is going to happen. We need to try and stick to the deadline, and if there's unfortunate incidences, then we can compensate and do that. But if we're going to tell ourselves, you know what, we got until 2020, then it's a hopeless case. We may as well fold up today and not even go through this process for the next 2 days, Jay. Thank you.
There's a relationship between Mainstein and the fish eagle. Honorable Mrutua?
Thank you.
I don't know what will be scratching, because Aaron was scratching the bottom. Where will scratch the underneath of what is remaining by proceed?
You know, I'm not going to be scratching anything, Jeff. From what the members have already spoken about, I'm just wondering whether we are going to meet the deadline, Jeff. There are a few things that maybe I would refer to. Because all the other things that the honorable members have mentioned are a true reflection of what we are getting today. And it's not satisfactory, and neither is it assisting us. Maybe, I don't know, Chairperson, I don't want to go back to the issue of the absence of the DG, because I think the DGG has shown us that he has he is quite capable of giving us, but some of the things really we need answers, and they are not there. Hence, Chairperson, when we started, I wanted to say to you, can't we hold on questions and maybe allow ICASA to come in as someone has said here. Maybe we should have left the entities to give us a presentation and DOC comes at the end. Chairperson, although I am very skeptical about the issue of always comparing Britain with South Africa. But sometimes you really wonder whether the standards that we are using, did we apply our thinking properly? Because it seems we have a lot of problems with achieving what we want in South Africa. There are two contradicting factors here on page 19, what the South African Bureau of Standards said and
to what page 7 says about enough industry capacity. The first bullet says subs partnered with established UK-based companies. Yes, it says on transferring technology on IP. And I just needed to know, Chairperson, when we say here on page 7 there is enough industry capacity, maybe what we should unpack that so that we know what we are lacking and what we have. Because to me it is contradictory. Coming to the issue of the call centers, Chairperson, I think I'll support Honorable Ufelma. Maybe someone can explain to me when we talk about these call centers, because Chairperson, we must not create an impression that we are creating jobs when actually our these call centers, they are not doing any good to our people at times. I just needed to know how do we detect that they are compliant to the labor laws. The call centers that we are going to, maybe we should look at that. And there is one aspect that is not mentioned here. Somebody has hinted on that. I think we needed to know because we had gone for an oversight trip with MultiChoice. Here we needed to know from DOC how are they comparing the MultiChoice when they are dealing with this issue, especially in terms of the charges of these set-top boxes. And the issue of set-top boxes, when the honorable members are, now I stay in Soweto, Chairperson, and Honorable Greg has alluded to this. The people that I think were supposed to know about this whole DTT process are not well invested on the matter of what a set-top box is and what is it going to do. And when the switch-off occurs, people, are they going to be able to access SABC? Such things, Jefferson. I don't know, really. I'm tempted to join the Honorable Chi when she was asking, who are you talking
to? It's unusual, but...
Yeah. Yes. Who are we talking to in these provinces? And by now, Jefferson, if we are talking about... 2015 compared to when we started talking about this DTT, it should have been far, really, Chairperson. I don't know what is holding us, but it's really disappointing, Chairperson. It is. And as you know, we feel, Chairperson, we had high expectations. I think, Chairperson, some of the issues that I would like to ask, I am going to talk about them after ICASA has made its presentation. But the last thing that I wanted to indicate on, Chairperson, is the seriousness of what we are doing to trust EU SASA, which says on page 24, what does it say here? It says actually were saying is also has defined the STD subsidy qualifying criteria. It's news to me. And the second bullet also, it's a very serious indictment, Chairperson, knowing if failure of USASA. I think we should deal with this matter. It's not going to work. As long as you know USASA parati, maybe we must talk about another structure that we can utilize or review EUSAS before we can even deal with this, because now we're heading for another failure. Thank you, Chairperson.
No, Honorable Chair, no, I did make a promise that if I'm not covered, I'll request to come back, and I'm back. Thank you for that.
Understood very well what you meant, and you didn't miss your way to continue.
Thank you so much, Chair. I think when we ask these questions, I must say, Chair, that we are mindful that we are a developmental country which is ever learning with a quest to better the lives of our people. I think it's fair enough to acknowledge, while we are not impressed in terms of the progress, to say the department, when the DDG was introducing, we've got Mr. Wanda, technology and infrastructure, which means he's technically wise, that person. He's sort of, for inverted commas, the best guru in South Africa that you can find. And we've got Mr. Kruger, Roy Kruger, which is also technically... technical advisor. That means also best now for now. I don't know when Mr. Kruger was joined the department, but I'm just using my common sense since I've joined this committee. Which means then we are not hard on DOC when we expected progress, because there is now technical capacity in terms of human resource that we have invested in. And I'm sure the DDG one was saying, when he was making his presentation, he was also saying that they are going to fit in some of the technical issues that we have raised. I just want to flag that one for all of us here, so that we don't come and pose here as if nothing really is not happening. Chair, I would like to know, because it has been raised in terms of financials and all that, what implications are they when we have increased the number of the manufacturers? And what guarantee these manufacturers are going to manufacture the parts and everything here in South Africa? They're not going to buy it somewhere from Britain or somewhere, because that one also has got implications in cost. What would be the spillover thereof in terms of the end user? As we are having currently, as we are sitting here, we have got an ever-shifting goalpost in terms of the target dates. I'm talking about the end user in terms of the people that may not necessarily afford. Linked to that, Chair, what guarantee or sense of comfort will be given to us here that people are not going to be unfairly abused the system in terms of benefiting from the subsidy that the government is going to be? Noting that we've got recently 2011 census the same outcome, in terms of the poorest of the people that we aim to subsidize has increased drastically. Then you are 5 million as opposed to the 6, which you, I think I understand the other one in terms of this assumption that is moving from. But what then the picture as it stands now in terms of the census results, what does it say to us? And also ensuring that there's no abuse. My colleagues, which is my last point, Chair, is the issue of the provincial forums. I think in terms of the presentation, one has, it's not the department is going to in terms of the minister, but there are those forums which I assume from where I'm sitting, those are political forums in terms of your mayors, your quota and so forth. But in terms of technical one forums, one would really, without also I'll repeat this, and I have to say it, I assume that the leader of those forums from DOC, I would really appreciate if I can get a response, who is the leading those forums from DOC? Is that the DDG or the DG? Or there's a technical team, whether you call it a project management team or whatever, who's the leader of that? Because that's where then we'll get a sense of comfort. Whom are they talking to in terms of all these programs, awareness programs, making our community ready, and also understanding the implications thereof in terms of the shift. Thank you, Chair. Thank you so much.
Thank you, members. I assume that will conclude the first round for the questions. We are running behind almost with one full presentation in terms of time. So moving forward, we are just going to be mindful into that and so on. But the DDG, you have to prepare yourself to respond to the questions raised by members. But probably one issue which you need to help us is raised by one member. I'm sure it was Shin, Honorable Shin. When USASA presented to us, they created an impression, probably need to clarify the issue, that the current calculation in terms of the rollout was not including the installation. It was just the 70% subsidy. Now, you seem to maintain the same figures, but now there's also an amount for installation without increasing the budget. That is the problem which then created the doubt that the numbers which we are here are not realistic, because if you put in the installation fees, then the number will reduce because the budget is not increased. So I think that's what we are battling with. If you can clarify that, because that's what was presented before the committee, that they are going to revise even the numbers, because the reality is that at that time it was only the subsidy, but the installation fee and other related costs were not included. Probably it's one thing, DDG, that probably it need to be clarified so that all of us were at ease in terms of the figures and so on. I'm sure members have raised all the important questions. If there is a need for them to follow up, they will do so. Or we'll see in terms of your response. Probably you might clarify even other issues which members probably they omitted to talk about and so on. Let me allow you to respond and not ask anything much. You might cover me on your responses. We are waiting for lunch. I'm told that the lunch will be here at 1. Probably since it's not here yet, let's use the few minutes to kickstart your response. Then we'll adjourn and continue after lunch in terms of the responses. DDG?
Honorable Chairperson and honorable members, thank you very much. We will attempt to respond, Chairperson. Like I said, Chairperson, indeed the migration we have in the country is it's a policy-led migration, in that it is expected of DOC in particular to provide decisive leadership, direction, and coordination of this complex project. Chairperson, I am the first one to admit that in many countries which have gone before us in implementing DTT, it has proven to be a very difficult and complex project. In Africa, Chairperson, unfortunately, we are seeing actually a difficulty in meeting even the 2015 deadline. So it is not surprising, because the planning phases and the multiplicity of stakeholders involved in the implementation of DTT actually shows that underdeveloped countries actually faces a huge challenge, not only in terms of skills, but in terms of budgetary requirements to meet DTT. I thought I would just start there, Chairperson, and go through together with my colleagues here what have been asked of us. Chairperson, we maintain that although difficult as it may be, there has been areas of significant progress, in that the most elements that are expected for this project to move on, we have been able to fully understand and in some instances take appropriate actions to make sure those things happen. And as the honourable member said, we are learning in some of these processes. Some of these processes, Chairperson, are also brought into difficulty by the fact that the enabling legislation, which is the Broadcasting Act and the ECA, at the same time we also have a broadcast digital migration policy. In some instances, there are gaps in terms of who should do what. So from time to time, we then find ourselves having to go into asking, say, for instance, broadcasters, do this. Later on, when you look at the law, you find that actually, you know what, this is actually not the right decision and so on. And this have led to some of the difficulties we have experienced, Chairperson. So in terms of the possibility of whether a solution can be found on the ETV case, Chairperson, I feel that that can be achieved. It is only if parties who are willing to negotiate can negotiate in good faith. A breakthrough can actually be achieved there, notwithstanding the fact that the matter is before courts as well. Chairperson, the capacity of USASA, as honourable members do raise, in the financial year 2011-2012, it was indeed a difficult situation there. The executives at USASA, as you know, were suspended and are still on suspension, some of them, and some of them have left the institution. But Chairperson, we have observed that the board, as it has been appointed, is trying to move swiftly to address the challenges there. It seems, Chairperson, that they are a team that has a full grasp of what is at hand. I've also observed, Chairperson, that they have met regularly as a board to attend to the challenges that are there. And the responsibility which was given to USASA, Chairperson, is not the making of the department. It's because USASA runs the Universal Service and Access Fund. What the department has done is to make sure that we can share expertise and direction with USASA to try and respond to the challenges that they may face. Chairperson, it is fact that the qualifying criteria was produced by USASA that I can attest to. The documentation which I have before me here, Chairperson, does bear the emblem of USASA, and USASA has submitted this document to the Minister of the qualifying criteria. This document was further workshopped, Chairperson, and this document will be made public after Minister publishes for public comments. It is, in fact, Chairperson, good work that was done here. A lot of factors and which inputs were obtained in several stakeholder meetings were taken on board as well. So that, Chairperson, is an achievement that I see from the side of USASA, notwithstanding the difficulties that are there. I may also add, Chairperson, that processes to appoint the CEO, they are also underway, and many other technical people who need to be on board. Chairperson, I have first-hand experience that there are officials who have worked very hard at USASA to contribute to this project of DTT. Chairperson, the rollout plan, and I would allow here Wanda to also speak to the rollout plan that we have, because the stakeholders met at Chairperson during the course of last year and put together a country plan. That plan is in place. That plan guides all stakeholders who are working on DTT. So that plan was adopted, Chairperson, but it does require regular amendments because some of the work also needs to be addressed. If I could just allow at this point in time Roy and Wanda to just speak. I'll ask Wanda to speak to the technical plan as we have it and what is in it.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, everybody. Basically, what we are doing, the plan is being worked on in conjunction with CENTEC and as well as SAPO. It's all going to be based on the provincial rollout of the transmitter network. So, essentially, the post office will come in view of the fact that they have the presence in all the provinces, and based on the data that's going to be used from the census and that's going to be provided by USASA in terms of the numbers of people located in those provinces. So that whole plan will be finalized using those parameters. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, everybody here. What I'd like to start off with, I hope I don't come across as too arrogant, but the way that I like to speak is because I'm very confident.
Don't worry, we deal with a lot of arrogant people here, and very well. You can be as arrogant as you want to.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. But the fact is that this is not a rocket science project. This is a project where if you have the money, you buy the equipment. In Centec's case, they take the equipment out to the site, they configure it, they switch it on, it works. If we take 61% of the population today, including Cape Town, if you go outside now, buy a set-top box, switch it on, it works. The project is up and running. The intricacies are the areas that we still need to convince maybe the House here that we've got it under control. I listened to the members expressing concern about maybe we don't know what we're doing. I can assure you we do know what we're doing. The minister, in conjunction with the DDG and the DG, have appointed engineers, myself and Wanda, the first two in the project management office. I'd like to maybe clarify this. Actually, we call it a program management office, and underneath the program management office, we have project managers. Wanda is one of the project managers, even though his title is as a chief director. But we also use project managers from the other entities, for example, CENTEC. Now, just to come back, the point I want to make here is that this project, from a technical point of view, is up and running. It's probably about 70% of the country now. We've been using the figure of 60-plus percent for the last couple of years. That came about with the 2010 World Cup, where they rolled out the what they call the DDB T1, the first version of the digital standard, and we've now replaced all of those T1 transmitters with T2. So that number sort of stayed static for the last. I've been here since February, and it's been like 60%, and you get tired of that figure. But I think as CENTEC gives you their rollout now, we're probably approaching the 70%. And all their equipment has been delivered, so that by March next year, they will be in a position to have 80% of the country covered. And as time goes on towards the end of next year, I hope I'm not taking away any of their thunder when they do the presentation. But by the end of next year, we hope to have 88% of the country covered with digital terrestrial TV. The other 12% will be covered by satellite. So In theory, we will have 100% coverage by the end of next year. That means South Africa is ready for DTT. So now the challenge is coming in terms of the set-top box manufacturing. Again, some of the delays that happened, we first thought in, I think it was March, April, let's go as an RFP, a request for proposal, find out who's out there in the market, where are we going to get these boxes from, is there capacity? We went out and did this. And then it turns out that half these guys want to sue us. And it's a crazy situation, but that is what happened. So we decided, okay, after we got the submissions on the RFP, what we found out from that is there are plenty of people who can manufacture these boxes. Again, I use this word in inverted commas because it actually, I can't think of something else now, but it's not rocket science. These boxes have been manufactured for the last 20 years. There's nothing complicated about these things. But South Africa decided we're going to have our own set of standards because I know questions have come from wherever it comes here in Parliament, but, you know, why don't we import these things? Well, the fact of the matter is if you import them, we don't create jobs. Secondly, we want a South African standard. The Chinese don't make 11 African language boxes. We want 11 languages in our boxes, so we'll manufacture them locally. So we came out with a standard, and then, as with all standards, there's like 30 or 40 people, and each one, if you ask 30 people a question, you get 30 different replies. We had to get this together, but we managed to get the set-top box standards ratified, locked down, and launched in May, June. So I think just to come back to the technical side before we get into all the other questions, from a technical point of view, this network is up and running. We're rolling it out. Those targets will be met. Thank you.
Honorable Chairperson, let's proceed with responding to some of the questions as well here. We still have a lot to go. The teaching on the Batopili principles, Chairperson, I want to say that it is a very important element, this issue of dealing with consumers, some of them who are illiterate, and we will have to take that on board in the curriculum, Chairperson, to make sure that it covers that, a good quality service to people, so that when the installers go out there, they are able to also respect the people who they are providing the service to, because it will not be necessarily the exchange of cash between the consumer and the installer at that point in time, but the installer already comes with a voucher. So we need to really tighten in the teaching of our installers to make sure that they can treat people actually in the manner that the Batopili principle expects of every one of us. Chairperson, the awareness campaign, this is what has happened in the department. The department initiated what it called a preliminary awareness campaign, which was running in radio and televisions throughout the country. Of course, at small scale, because indeed there were limitations in terms of the fact that you cannot ramp up awareness as well. Whilst you teach and inform, and this targeted mainly everybody through messaging, text, radio, and all of that, Chairperson. And we had to get to a point where we make sure that all of the aspects for DTT are actually progressed with. During towards the launch, Chairperson, of DTT, we then also made sure that the department is ready. By the time that we say set-top boxes can now be available, the service provider who has been appointed, Media Corner, and the agency, which is the consortium that is responsible for the awareness campaign as it is, have the right budget to continue to ramp up awareness campaign in the country. They are currently busy with the preparations to do that launch. The ramp up of the awareness campaign. Ideally, Chairperson, we are expecting that the awareness campaign will indeed use radio and TV. We'll also be using outreach programs wherein there's face to face with people out there in communities. We're also expecting, Chairperson, that in centers where people converge in numbers, be it in taxis, in trains and all of these centers, those are also targeted. This is part and part of the scope that the department expects of the awareness. But Chairperson, I must also mention that the awareness campaign, as we see it, is also a responsibility of the broadcasters and all stakeholders here. So we are working together to make sure that we can ramp up the awareness campaign. I do agree, Chairperson, that we have not done enough in terms of the awareness campaign. Our plans are that we should be able to ramp this up. Also, Chairperson, budgeting around awareness was an issue for the department, so from time to time we had to take money from there to that cost center to make sure that we can be ready for that. And that is the matter that we're also discussing with National Treasury. Chairperson, there's an issue about what if someone choose not to take up DTT. It is a reality, Chairperson, that this is actually a possibility. In fact, in countries like the UK where they have implemented a health scheme to target specifically those kinds of people who don't feel the need to change, don't feel the need to go and get a set-top box out there. The awareness campaign is also meant to target those people to see the necessity. And Chairperson, this relates to the fact that by the time you want to switch off the analog signal, these people can be affected. And this is why at the point of making sure that you want to switch off, you really want to make sure that people have actually adopted DTT. But this is part and parcel of the challenges, Chairperson. What needs to be addressed is people who may refuse change. And that is a reality, Chairperson. So I do agree that there has to be measures to also respond to that because the department is aware that those kinds of things are actually likely to happen. The ICASA Chairperson timelines and why are we finalizing DTT regulations now, Chairperson? It is the reality that the SADC market did experience an issue around the competition between DVBT standard, which is a European-based standard, and ISDBT Japanese standard. That issue, Chairperson, was so controversial that it had to be attended to procedurally. The mechanisms for doing this, Chairperson, meant that SADC had to undertake a study for which South Africa participated in visiting and making factual findings. This was a decision of ministers of SADC. Chairperson, this did have a significant delay because you would recall that the implementation of a DVBT standard was out of the fact that the region one to which Africa belongs had adopted a recommendation of the ITU because that standard was actually possible to implement in this region and was to be compatible with many of our networks and were to be able to have set-top boxes because set-top boxes that are here already even used by DSTV or Top TV, Chairperson, are actually DVB-based. So there was no difficulty in us tapping into our own experience about moving into the implementation of that. Chairperson, that has caused the delay. You'll recall that Minister Padayachi, after the Zambia meeting in 2010, November, came back to report to the country through a press conference that SADC has indeed adopted DVBT2 now, which is a second generation standard. And to implement that, Chairperson, it means we must replace what was in place before, which was T1, and that Sentech must now order all of its equipment to upgrade to T2. This is the net effect of that exercise, Chairperson. It is regrettable. It was not desirable because at that point in time, we had already began with a trial. Everything was moving well. But because of that, Chairperson, we also had to respond to these issues in terms of policy. So we had to also update policy. And that meant that we also had to review the timelines associated with that because really a delay of a year and some months was not something that you could actually ignore. So, Chairperson, the delay was actually significant and probably regrettable, but it has led to the fact that we now had to move into a new standard. The costs are not the same because when we did the economic modeling of digital migration, we worked on T1. And when you work on T2 and all of that, the cost for Sentech also had to go up and all of that. So again, also, Chairperson, this also relates to the fact that the chipsets for DT2-based set-top boxes
because they were not largely available. I think what I want to also demonstrate here is the fact that the adoption of new technologies follows what has been studied as a scientifically manner of adoption of technology. So when a chipset is not available worldwide, you can't enjoy the economies of scale. And this is why the estimate by the department was that the set-top box will cost around 700. But when you look at time of the fact that, you know, the globe has adopted this technology in large numbers, you cannot stick with those that 700 cost of the set-top box. So when you look at it in hindsight, Chairperson, you can understand that between 2008 and now, the set-top box cannot cost the same amount, because the adoption of technology equipment also follows global demand in that way. So we have a good sense now from the submissions which we have received that, in fact, the cost would be considerably lower than 700. So, and then when you look at the cost for an area, Chairperson, you can include that cost in the 700 basic submission that was made to Treasury, that this cost will cost that much, because you can now afford both an installer, the aerial, as well as the set-top box, because of economies of scale that the country can enjoy. I must mention, Chairperson, that looking at SADC as well, with the high adoption of the G2 now, the economies of scale actually will benefit much, much more in the region in terms of regional integration as well. So I'm trying to explain this to understand the financials around the installer, the aerial, as well as the set-top box. Our take now, we may not necessarily, Chairperson, have concluded our pricing as of today, but it is very clear that all of these components can be afforded within the same budget as was submitted. So, Chairperson, if I were to respond to the issue of why the Latin Americans and other regions are requesting 2020, ITU works in regions, and regions adopt agreements within the ITU system. So the commitment by Region 1 was that we'll go up to June 17, 2015. Chairperson, it is very clear, and I do not want to preempt this, because this is also, again, to renew, because South Africa is bound by the agreement of the ITU, to which it is a member. But it is very clear that Africa is actually struggling and will probably struggle to meet that deadline. But, Chairperson...
maybe it is easy to help you with that one. The question is that Africa has around 50-something states or nations. 30 of the 52, they are on 2020. Already two-thirds of African countries are on 2020 in relation to their discussion 2006 and so on. So now that is in relation to the question. Why is South Africa, we chose this? Because there's no question about which region. Because if 30 countries in Africa, they are exempted to go to 2020, the question then was, why do we have to pressure ourselves that much with a deadline and so on? Because it's a foregone conclusion that Africa anticipated most countries that I won't make it and so on. Then they had that request, some of them, and the note when that treaty was adopted in the ITU that they will request additional 5 years so that 2020 become the deadline and so on. I think it's in that context, because we're also in Africa, and two-thirds of the countries in Africa could be able to anticipate that difficulty.
Honorable Chairperson, thank you. The ITU system, Chairperson, does allow for countries to make footnotes into the agreement, and that option, if there are challenges for the country, is actually... open to South Africa as well. But that will amount to reviewing the agreement, Chairperson. So I understand where you're coming from there. Nonetheless, Chairperson, I think it is also good practice for a country like ours, when we sign or a signatory to an international treaty, we also work towards it. And that's where I am coming from, Chairperson. So, Chairperson, to go further on the on the questions that have come on the awareness and installation and the planning stage and the human elements as they came in there, Chairperson. Let me approach it this way, Chairperson. This issue of installers and training.
Sorry to interrupt you. I'm told that the finger lunge is outside. There are two dangers. It can get cold, or the Chinese delegation can choose to visit at this time and do what they always do best, to eat everything they come across when they visit Parliament. So the best thing probably is that let us try to break for lunch. We might not have the luxury of the entire hour because of the time, but because now it's around 20 past one, probably let us endeavor to come back at 2 still so that we can proceed with our work. Then we'll proceed with your questioning. If you can cram up, Baba, and make sure that you are able to proceed.
Number?
Yes.
Yes.